I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Big Sunday. Jay Binkley, Christopher Tenpenny. Yeah, put it in perspective on the odds yesterday for the Kentucky Derby. 143 Triple Crown winners sent off 80 to 1 or worse. 33 finished last. 5 did not finish. 1-1. Donerall, who was 91-1 odds in the 1913 Derby, and just 5 others managed to hit the board. Just insane about the Kentucky Derby yesterday and how that some guys can win it, and that's why Mike Leach is talking about, well, let's people outside the top 10 and see if they can actually win it. But Rich Strike wins it 80-1 odds. So an incredible day. We have F1 racing today, Miami. You've got the Royals with the doubleheader. You've got NASCAR today as well. You got NBA playoffs. You got 4 games in the NHL. It is just sports palooza today for the Kansas City Chiefs. Andy Reid joined the drive yesterday for his for a nice conversation with Carrington Harrison, and Andy was asked how quickly you could forget the AFC title game before turning your attention to this year.
Well, it's got to go relatively quick because you got to get on with business. And but I can't tell you it's the most fun thing when you lose in that game. Or any game other than you want to win the Super Bowl, obviously. We're all striving for that. And so when you get that far and the season's been that long, it disappoints you that you didn't come out with a W. But when it's all said and done after that, you step back and then you got to get right back into it because you've got free agency, the draft, and your off-season studies that you're going to be doing. So you want to come into those in a positive frame of mind and not let the thing hang over on you.
It's way to do it. It's like a closer's mentality in baseball. You got to forget about what happened the day before. But that's tough, man. Like, if his fans, that one lingered for a while. It lingered throughout the Super Bowl because of the Bengals beating the Chiefs. You knew you were going to see highlights of that game, but the Bengals didn't get the job done. These teams that had 4 wins and show up the next year and win the Super Bowl because they didn't. The Rams took care of business against the Bengals, and the rest is history. Now the Bengals fall down there less odds than the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl next season. But they had their opportunity last year, didn't get the job done. Bad offensive line, couldn't protect Joe Burrow, and the rest is history. Here's Andy Reid on the Tyreek Hill situation and kind of what went down. And Andy talks about this thing, you know, in the works for quite a while.
Well, this had been ongoing for a while. So, I mean, I figured that as things went, especially after – the Raiders made their choice of wide receivers and what they paid him. I figured that he wasn't long for here.
So wasn't long for here after Davante Adams gets that big contract for the Raiders, and that's exactly what happened to Tyreek Hill. Andy Reid was also asked about Juju Smith-Schuster because for 2 straight years they tried to court him. They tried to court him last year. He sent in pictures of the Lombardi Trophy. It didn't work out, but it showed you how bad they wanted Juju last year. They thought that locker room wasn't complete with what they had. They needed Juju, needed Melvin Ingram on defense, weren't able to get Melvin Ingram until the trade deadline last year. But they wanted Juju. Now they finally have him. What is it about him that he likes so much?
Yeah, Juju is a big, strong kid, and he was banged up a little bit last year. But he's healthy now, and he's been working his tail off. He spent a lot of time with Patrick down in Texas, and then he's back here now with us and the rest of the guys. So you can see the strength, good hands, good route runner, smart, and he's a tough kid. I mean, he's proven that over the years. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's been well over 1,000 yards every year receptions until he got banged up there.
You want your Sammy Watkins replacement. This is it. A Sammy Watkins that hopefully stays on the field. Juju's a tough blocker. Never forget him laying out Vontaze Burfict a couple years ago in a game with the Steelers and Bengals. Dude likes to hit. Gives the Chiefs options, a wide receiver that can block. Obviously, he can take the top off of defense, too. MVS, a very good blocker when he was in Green Bay. Plus, he had that 4.37 speed. He's got it. And Sky Moore offers something a little bit different, kind of what Tyreek Hill did last year. Because Tyreek Hill was kind of bottled up and had to become a different receiver last year because the way defenses were playing, it wasn't vertical routes, nine routes down the field. He had to kind of change how he was playing. Now, the Chiefs did put the unrestricted free agent tag on Melvin Ingram, the possibility of getting him back. Here's Andy Reid.
Well, there's that chance. We just got to see how things go here. He hasn't signed anywhere yet, so and we had communication with him earlier. And we'll just see where all that goes. We enjoyed having him here, and he did a nice job when he was here.
Whenever it's a situation like this, are you still recruiting the player? Because I agree with you. I thought he had a fantastic year last year when you guys made the trade for him. I wanted him at the very beginning of the season. I thought he provided a lot of depth and veteran experience for you guys. I really want Melvin Ingram to come back. Are you calling Ingram and telling him that you want him to come back, or are you sort of giving him time to figure it out on his own?
Yeah, we just kind of worked through that. And, you know, with a veteran player, it's a little different on how you go about doing that, like Melvin is. So, but when he left here, he knew how we felt about him. And so I'll just leave it at that, you know, without getting into the business part of it.
So I'm not going to get into the business part of it, but that's how bad they want a guy like Melvin Ingram back. Carrington also asked Andy Reid, as far as, you know, you get to that age, and is retirement ever crossed your mind? I haven't really heard Andy talk about this much.
I haven't gotten to that point yet. You know, I'm still excited and about the job, and when I get to that point, I'm sure we'll know like they did. I mean, they had I'm friends with a couple of those guys that you're mentioning, so. They just knew it was time, and so I've heard that before, and I'm not there yet. That's not where I'm at, feeling wise. But I know that day will come. I mean, it's and it'll be here sooner than later, right? I mean, that's how this thing works when you get older. I'm on the backside of the career, but I love every minute of it, and as of today, so that's how I roll with it.
So I don't think he's going to retire. I think he enjoys too much what Patrick Mahomes is. He's still in that ring-chasing mode. He's still going to try to get this. Now, here's the Andy Reid on the wide receivers, not thinking the Chiefs really have a true number one.
I'm not sure we really count anybody as number one, two, or three. I mean, I've never done that. We'll just see how things work out, and then we can talk about it at the end of the year, who has the most production. But we try to spread the ball around to our guys the best we possibly can.
Also, as far as planning to replace Tyreek Hill at wide receiver, here was Andy Reid.
You saw what we did with free agency and then the draft. We brought in three receivers total there, and then we've also got Mecole Hardman. So we've got a good nucleus of guys, and we'll play to their strengths, just like we did with Tyreek. We try to do that with all our players, play to their strengths, and then work on the things that maybe they need to turn into strengths. And so and that's where the teaching part comes in. And so that's where we're at. We feel like we've got some pretty good players there. We've increased the running back position too. We've increased wide receiver position. We're strong at the tight end spot. So, you know, and strong at the offensive line position. So we feel like we've got a great nucleus on offense, and now it's just a matter of everybody coming together, Carrington, so that you bring it together as a team. Every year it's a little different, and so this year we bring it together, work hard, and keep studying and get to know each other and then get ourselves ready for the season.
And the one thing, too, is just the shifting in wide receivers. It's becoming one of the most important positions in the NFL.
Well, they got a lot of monetary respect this offseason, and more power to the guys that they get that money. And we'll just see. I mean, things have a tendency to move around by position in the NFL, monetarily at least. And so this year was wide receivers. I don't know if that stays true throughout. Normally it's the quarterbacks that get that money and maybe some defensive ends, corners, that type of thing. But the wide receivers got it this year, so it's good for them. And there was a shift. I mean, you're accurate with that, Carrington.
So the shift in wide receivers, you're seeing more and more of this. The league used to be, you know, the quarterback position, that left tackle position, shut down corner and edge rusher. Well, look at the wide receivers this year. This is why the running backs are playing wide receiver in college. It's becoming such a premium position. Here's Andy Reid on McCole Hardman, thinking he can continue to develop.
Yeah, well, I've got a lot of respect for McCole. McCole works hard, and he's very talented, and we were able to kind of put him in situations that we thought he was very good at this past year, and he came out with some good production. Real tough kid. His strengths were the things where places we were using him, and then again he can. He's working on increasing that repertoire of plays, and he's worked real hard on that this offseason. So we'll see how everything comes together for him as we get into the season.
And last year he had more specialized plays, did McCole Hardman, so they kind of found what his role is. But, you know, that's the big talk. Like, what are you going to get this year from McCole Hardman? How's he going to fit in? And what's the hierarchy? Because there's not really a number one wide receiver, as Andy Reid said, so – you look at it, obviously, number one receiving target is always going to be Travis Kelce. I mean, he split out, wasn't even a tight end 2 years ago. I'll never forget in the Super Bowl against the Buccaneers. He had 77 catches for 1,200 yards when he wasn't even lined up at the tight end position. And he averages 99 catches the last 4 years with the Chiefs. Yes, Tyreek Hill had more catches than him last year, but usually it's Travis Kelce. Then who? Then is it Juju? I don't think it's McCole Hardman, because I think he's going to be a more specialized stuff. We'll see him run out of the backfield. You'll see a lot of specialized plays for him. I think it's going to be Juju or Sky Moore that's the second leading receiver for this team. I just think that's the way it is. Then, of course, Andy talked about the loss of the Honey Badger as well. Now that the Honey Badger's moved on to New Orleans.
I talked to him all throughout this time. I really like Tyron, and unfortunately, in this position, you know, in this job, you got to make some decisions. He a phenomenal player, great kid, great for the community here. It just didn't work out. So, and not from a lack of effort on either side. I think both sides tried to put something together there, but it just didn't work out. But listen, we wish him the best of luck with New Orleans. I mean, he's back home. How many times does that happen? And I think it's great for him. And he'll be great for them.
So there you go. It's Andy Reid on that. Coming up next, talk a little bit more about George Karlaftis. Vern joins us at 10:30 to get us ready for the doubleheader today with the Kansas City Royals. We'll count up next, George Karlaftis.
You're listening to Bink Sunday on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Everyone knows that Nature Valley Crunchy Bars are, well, crunchy. What they don't know is that they're also packed with 16 grams of whole grains, ready to help you get out there. Nature Valley, for every adventure.
Welcome back to Big Sunday. Jay Binkley, Christopher Tenpenny, producing the operation. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. We celebrate you today. All day long. Actually, this is Mother's Day weekend, so hopefully you did it for the entire weekend. Hope you took care of mine. I know you can't, Christopher. You're going to have to make up for that. But Mom's on a vacation, a well-deserved vacation, I'm sure. So at least you could take some solace in the fact that Mom's out having a little bit of fun.
Oh, for sure. And her birthday's in the end of April, too, so I already had to do that. We just combined Mother's Day and called it good.
That's good. Okay, so
yeah.
You got it done.
Yeah, we got it done.
So you got it done. Now you're working a doubleheader today. This is fun for you because it's baseball.
Right, exactly. I love baseball.
You're 100%. And you don't have kids yet, so.
Nope, not yet.
Yeah. So you don't technically have another mother to celebrate.
Nope. She's just my wife right now, and every day is Wife's Day, so. She's not listening, though, so
true.
I don't have to say that.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah, it's That's true. Sometimes it gets to that point, so you never know what you're going to get. Never know what you're going to get as far as that is concerned. Been burned many times myself, but, you know, good luck to you, my friend. Good luck to you, my friend. James Palmer also, we talked about Sky Moore on NFL Network. Here's his thoughts on George Karlaftis.
Well, really, they wanted to make sure that they developed receivers, and I talked about it earlier, and if we can kind of pivot to what they did in that first round and went with defense, Omar, and you mentioned George Karlaftis and that dog there is going to get plenty of scraps probably falling off the table in Kansas City of that barbecue. And what I want to see from him early in the portion of this rookie minicamp, because this is a guy that's coming in. We know pass rush is an issue that has been lacking in Kansas City, and he comes in and needs to make an immediate impact right away. That is a big part of what he's going to have to do, is get after the quarterback opposite of Frank Clark and alongside, obviously, Chris Jones. But the part that I want to keep my eye on is how he keeps a physical presence in the run game and sets that edge and brings a physical presence to that defensive line, because that's what happened when Melvin Ingram came in the middle of the season last year. When I talked to guys in that defensive linebacking crew and in the secondary, they said it just changed the way we played as a defense because of his physical presence up front, and we could get down and make plays. Guys like, you know, Willie Gay Jr. or Nick Bolton. Karlaftis is going to have to do that in the running game as well. He has the physical presence to do it. They'd like him to play up and down that line. This is a guy that can get to the quarterback, like I said, but at the same time can be really stout in the run game. I believe he finished 30 and a half tackles for loss in his career at Purdue. So, yes, getting at the quarterback is important. Setting the edge in the run game, being physical up front so these active linebackers can make plays, very important for George Karlaftis as well. Yeah.
All right, I'm excited about Karlaftis. He's going to be compared to some people, too. Like, Jermaine Johnson's going to be a comparison because he falls, you know, to the New York Jets. People look at Jermaine Johnson. I was shocked that he fell, but there's a reason he fell. Some teams weren't enamored with him. Oftentimes, you know, we're not privy to several things. Not saying it was a medical issue at all. Probably wasn't, but you don't have those, and you don't have the combine interviews. Like, the interviews, we didn't have the information on. Be compared to him and Arnold Bacchetti, that I really like, that goes to the Falcons. You know, he's a guy that I can really see getting after the quarterback. But George Karlaftis, 54 pressures last year, 117 pressures since he was at Purdue. This guy didn't play football until he got to high school. Had 41 sacks in high school. So he has a short body. Was a water polo guy before that, which you know how much stamina that takes. But, you know, he's going to be expected to do things here. And I think there's going to be expectations on a couple of these guys. I think Trip McDuffie's going to have expectations in the secondary. And I understand why the Chiefs grabbed 5 out of their 10 picks in the secondary with 3 corners and 2 safeties, because of how important it is when you're playing Russell Wilson twice, Justin Herbert twice, Josh Allen, Tom Brady, Joe Burrow. You know, the list goes on and on. They're playing the who's who of quarterbacks next year in the NFL. Really only 4 games don't have what you'd call a above average to elite style quarterback. You know, it's that point. I mean, Titans on there, you're not worried about that situation. Seahawks not worried about that quarterback situation. Oh, and all by the way, Matt Stafford's on the schedule as well. Last year's Super Bowl champion. So it's the who's who on that. But you got to be able to get to the quarterback too. So Karloftis is going to have expectations because that's the edge rusher they got. They didn't load up on edge rushers in the draft. George Karloftis. That's why Melvin Ingram coming back is so important for depth. Somebody gets hurt, you got to have somebody else. And Leo Chenal gives you that blitz from the inside. Hopefully Chris Jones, you know, back to the inside. That's where he was more effective last year. So Chris Jones pushing up the middle. Leo Chenal on some of those. I think they still do secondary blitzes because Spags likes to do that as well. Blitz from the secondary position. So I'm looking forward to it. But as far as expectations, yeah, McDuffie's got a ton. Karloftis has a ton. I think Sky Moore has a bunch of expectations on him. Now, so many others, we could say, okay, well, I just hope that they're role players for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, but I'm looking at three guys there that could very easily be starters. And I haven't even talked about Darian Kennard, but he's playing on house money. He's a fifth-round pick, but I think he starts at right tackle. He's got that chip on his shoulder. Only gave up one sack last year in 350 attempts. Got the award for best blocker in the SEC conference. And I think he starts. I think he starts next to Trey Smith, which sets this lineup for the next couple of years. Mahomes will be in his 30s by the time this offensive line has to be repaid or hits free agency. So that's good for the Chiefs because that's not going to be the talk anymore. I remember when Eric Fisher was a huge talking point in Kansas City, and then he did become a talking point. That's good that you weren't talking about him anymore. But the offensive line was a huge talking point after that Buccaneers Super Bowl. Matter of fact, the Chiefs started thinking about halftime, how they're going to fix this offensive line. And they did. You know, they drafted Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith. You had two starters from the draft last year on the offensive line. You go out and pay money for Joe Tooney, the highest paid guard, when you made that move. Then, of course, you bring in Orlando Brown. That not only brought you Orlando Brown, but you also got the 58th pick in the draft, which turned out to be Nick Bolton, which turned out to be a good pick for the Kansas City Chiefs as well. So three contributors last year. Out of six, I mean, that's a 50% rate for hitting in the draft last season. So another good draft, and hopefully this is a good draft. We won't be able to tell until the year's over, but we can clearly tell how good last year's draft was because of the performance on some of the guys. We'll talk to Josh Vernier, get us ready for Baltimore and the Kansas City Royals next.
You're listening to Bink Sunday on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Back to Bank Sunday, Jay Binkley, Christopher Tenpenny produced the operation. Fun sports weekend, Kentucky Derby, 80-1 odds. Won the Kentucky Derby. F1 in Miami today, NASCAR, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. This is a very good sport today. But the Kansas City Royals 2 in Baltimore because they haven't played since 2021, so it's going to be nice to see the Kansas City Royals in action today. And joining us now, the Royals insider, Josh Vernier. What's up, Vern?
You're into F1?
You know what? I do enjoy it.
It's I believe
like,
it.
It's always like three guys to win it, but yes.
Yeah. I was always curious why. I mean, I have no idea about anything when it comes to Formula One, but I was always curious of why it was just so big elsewhere and never fully embraced here in the States.
Well, the one thing is that Netflix series really helped it. There was a Netflix F1 series, and I know Grant... That is up here with me usually on Sundays, a big F1 fan. And so we just started picking the winner last year because the F1 would be on a lot when we were in the morning, like in Monaco or Spain
or
whatever.
Sure, sure, sure.
But it's cool, man. I mean, there's a ton of pageantry, like, after the race.
Right,
I mean,
right.
They really, really get into it. Yes. I think the NASCAR resonates more because they're running Camrys, they're running Mustangs, and they're running Camaros. It's not like many people are out there rolling Ferraris.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right, right,
but
right.
But Brett Veach is going down there to watch it. I don't know if you've seen the track, but it is really, really cool.
Yeah, yeah. They seem to, you know, sell the sex. They sell all of the, you know, the pageantry and the glitz and the glamour and the money. That's what I see. Whenever I see it briefly, that's what I see in Formula One. And you would think people would run to that. People love all that crap.
Well, it's the second race in the United States. They have that one down in Texas as well. And they're going to get that one in Vegas next year, which will be cool because they're going to use part of the strip for that. Yeah, so... You know, but it's everywhere, man. It's all around the world. It's crazy what these guys do. But you have the Kentucky Derby yesterday. Did you win millions on that, by the way?
I did not. I've been doing pretty good since the Super Bowl, really staying away from gambling. So, no, I'm not diving back into that world just yet. I did catch the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. I happened to flip to NBC at the end of their, 6 hours of coverage.
Yeah, for one
before
race.
Before the race. Yeah, it was exciting, and, you know, the announcer always, even if it's not exciting, he makes it sound exciting.
Well, you've had a lot of time on your hands because, seriously, the Royals haven't played for like 2 months.
Yeah, I've watched, you want to talk NBA, I could do that too.
I actually nailed that one Friday because they started looking at the weather like earlier that morning, and when you start seeing, if you see like 70% chance or 60, okay. There's
Did
still
you just
a chance
pat of, yourself on the back?
No, I didn't because
for calling that rain out.
I should have because it was
100%. Your record speaks. You should probably zip it when it comes to prognosticating the weather.
It's
pretty
not
bad
hard.
Track record.
Well, I have a very bad track record. Yeah. I did it first. I mean,
early 2000s Royals track record.
It's been real.
Mid 2000s.
But yes, finally get some action. But here's the thing: I was in with Bob Friday, and you know he's talking about some of these possible sweeps the Royals could have, and it's like. Here's the deal. As much as the Orioles aren't good, they still have two more wins than the Royals. The Texas Rangers aren't good. They still have two more wins than the Royals. They view the Royals as the 3 a.m. booty call because they do. Hey, the Royals are coming to town. We need to get a win, and they might be talking sweep as well. But the Royals had a losing record last year against Baltimore and against Texas. But when you're throwing Greinke, this new and improved Daniel Lynch, then all of a sudden you get to Texas and you're throwing Keller. I mean, I know that they can't hit when Greinke's pitching, but there are three horses going for the Kansas City Royals. This is a time. I don't know how you're putting this road trip, Vern, how important you consider this road trip, but they ought to get off to the gate and a good start with those guys going.
Yeah, Bink, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, in lockstep with everything that you said there. Yeah, this 9-game road trip to me. I mean, we could start with today's doubleheader. I swear to God, if this team doesn't win a game today, can you imagine Royals fans? Can you imagine this city driving to work on Monday? And let's say they're, fortunate enough to be able to spend some time today with mom or their wife or whoever it might be. And when they check in with the Royals in the second week of May. 9 games below 500 to start the second week of May. They better win a game today or else I can't blame Royals fans when they say really much of anything. You've got to win a game today, and in my opinion, you've got to have a winning road trip because this road trip is basically a test to see are the Royals the worst team in the American League. That's what this comes down to, and if the answer is yes or I don't know, let's discuss – then we're in for a world of hurt over the next few weeks with the White Sox and the Twins coming to town. I mean, it could be time to put the Royals to bed in the division in May. This road trip is absolutely humongous for everyone, for the fan base, for the clubhouse, for the organization, for the front office. It's just... There's no reason why you shouldn't win 5 of these 9 games, at least 5 of these 9 games. I don't care that it's on the road. You better have a winning road trip.
Well, they're adding that extra playoff team this year, but I don't know if it's going to matter. have been talking to you, Vern, through the weeks, and you know everything was kind of jumbled in this division. But all of a sudden, you look now, and the Twins they're 6 games over .500, 3-game lead on the White Sox. White Sox have won 5 in a row, so they're back to coming. .500.
You knew they weren't going anywhere. No. They're too all in to allow a bad April to sink them.
Won Cleveland, 1 game under .500, so they're just hovering right there. Then there's the Royals and Tigers at 8-15 and 8-18. So suddenly,
and the Tigers are a mess. I mean, for as upset
which
as
I'm shocked
we are,
by.
I'm equally shocked between the both of them because I thought it came down to their pitching. I never thought that both offenses would be the two worst offenses in Major League Baseball, especially with the money that Detroit spent. The two teams that have a case as the worst American League ball club are the Royals and Tigers right now.
Yeah, I'm definitely surprised by that, but
surprised by Cleveland too. I did not think that offense would be able to do what it's done. I knew Ramirez was a stud, but Owen Miller and Stephen Kwan, I did not see that coming.
Yeah, where the hell did Kwan come from? You know what I mean? Came out of the and Fran Melreyes, I knew that he was going to be good for him too.
Yeah.
But Correa's banged up a little bit for the Twins, but we'll see if they can keep it going. But I wasn't impressed with the Twins, the White Sox, or the Tigers or Cleveland when the Royals played them. I mean,
yeah, they weren't impressed
right
with the Royals.
With
yeah, and they weren't impressed with the Royals either. Okay, April was a wash. Here we go in the month of May. Here's your opportunity, Royals. You know, we could get to the end of May and the Royals have a 500 record. I mean, that's possible. And then you and I will have a discussion of, well, did they just get fat on the Orioles and the Rockies and the Rangers? Went 500 against the White Sox, went 500 against the Twins. Did they get fat on the bad teams that they're playing here in the month of May? I would love to have that conversation, but I'm certainly not banking on that conversation forthcoming. The Royals got to go out there and prove that they're not the worst team in the American League. I don't think that they are. I didn't think that they were going to be. Now I can at least entertain the idea. And for the next 9 days, we're going to find out.
But they're not. I mean,
that's what I think.
I just can't see it with this lineup. And, you know, when you're throwing Greinke and Lynch and at least three of your five.
Maybe
your
not
rotation.
The lineup. But, yeah, those three starting pitchers, this bullpen, this defense, the speed that this team has, if the offense and the number 4 and 5 spots in the rotation are really that bad that they're able to drag down the rest of that talent, I would be very surprised. Now you look at the lineup today, no MJ Melendez, even though the team does bring up Sebastian Rivero to have an extra catcher. You're facing a righty in the opener, a lefty in the finale, but no MJ Melendez in game one as Ryan O'Hearn getting the starts and hitting cleanup. And the lefty that they're facing, you know, he's got good numbers against lefties. So, you know, I don't view MJ Melendez as a backup catcher. If he's here, I want him in the lineup.
Yeah,
so disappointed to not see him.
Yeah, I do too. I want to see him play. And Bobby Witt Jr. starting hit as well. He had that 11-game hitting streak snap. But this is, it's not just Bobby Witt Jr. It's a lot of these young guys coming up to the league. And, you know, I'm not a fan of the de-juiced ball. We know it is. They've admitted it is. It's taken distance off of home runs. I think this is the last thing that these superstars that people need to get to know their names needed to see when they got to the show.
Yeah, but this is, you know, very Major League Baseball. You know, one of the things that I feel like hurts baseball is the difficulty of baseball at the Major League level. Because we want the young superstars to be superstars right out of the gate. I think it's, I don't know, maybe I'm off base. This could be me talking out of my backside, I'll admit that. But it seems like it's easier because of college football and college basketball to hit the NBA, to hit the NFL, and just be a stud from day one. You don't see that very often. Every now and again, Acuna, Tatis, Machado, you know, there are a few, but, you know, even Mike Trout, and I know people have heard the story, Mike Trout was, you know, sent down. Clayton Kershaw struggled at the beginning. It would be nice if Bobby, Leo, and Torkelson were just studs right out of the gates, But that's just not how it works, which brings us back to the idea of Bobby Witt Jr. hitting second for this team on opening day. I wasn't opposed to it. I'm certainly not going to say that I ever was. But the team's quickness to drop him and the correct move to drop him in the lineup when they did, that to me speaks to it was a little overzealous of us to have him that high. Torkelson hit near the bottom. Rodriguez hit near the bottom when the season started in Seattle. Sure, Bobby deserved to hit number two, but maybe we were all a tad bit too eager to buy into the future superstardom of Bobby Witt Jr. and did not allow him the grace to ease into the big leagues.
Looks like Brady Singer's getting stretched out up in Omaha. Has he developed that third pitch yet, or is that still a big concern with him to be a starter in the major leagues?
Yeah, I mean, he throws it, but he's, you know, throwing it in Omaha. And, you know, as we've all learned countless times from hitters and pitchers, you can do a lot of great things at Omaha and deserve a lot of credit. Not many people can put up numbers at the AAA level of professional baseball. So kudos to them. But the big leagues is a horse of a different color. Coming up here and throwing a changeup in a big spot, coming up here and just controlling your sinker-slider combo is easier said than done. So, he needs the changeup, but he also needs to be able to throw strikes when he needs to, and that has escaped him of late, really since the start of spring training. And now with Chris Bubich going to the bullpen, I would think that Jonathan Heasley will get a look, because what I know about Jonathan Heasley, or at least what I believe to know about Jonathan Heasley, is he can throw a strike when a strike is needed. And right now, that's what's needed in that number five spot, a guy that's going to utilize the defense. I'd be fine with giving Heasley that five spot, and if he cannot handle it, then Brady Singer grabs maybe either Carlos Hernandez's spot, and we'll see what he can do tomorrow, or he grabs that away from Jonathan Heasley.
Good stuff. It's our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. He comes on at 11:30 today. Vern, we have back-to-back games, so we won't hear from you again till what, after the second game?
I swear to God, Binkley, they better win a game or else
it's two to talk about.
I'm breaking everything.
Well, I've been enjoying your analysis.
Well, I want to be in a good mood. So, Greinke and Lynch, they better win a game. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, so we'll hear from you after the game. Then tomorrow you get started at 10 a.m., isn't it? So it's
10 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah, that is I can't remember the last time an on-deck show started at 10 a.m.
I don't remember either. But it really...
I texted Cody and Gold yesterday. I said, enjoy your three-day weekend.
Enjoy your three-day weekend
for
sure.
A nice little surprise on a Saturday.
I'll be in with Bob, so it's going to be weird taking you straight up to you. So,
well, take the handoff. I'll take the handoff like a young Marcus Allen.
Good stuff. Vern, always enjoy talking to you, my friend. Enjoy the games today. All right, we'll be listening.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you. There's Josh Vernier right there. He comes on at 11:30 to get you ready for the Royals and Orioles. And please, Royals, get at least one of the two wins, because I want to hear Vern. I want to hear Vern be sane, and Tenpenny's going to have to deal with it. Your job today is to keep Vern up, man. I think they're going to win at least one today, but your job, if they lose two, got to watch the man. Send him positivity. Send him some texts of, all right, we got this, man. We got this, because I'm worried about Vern.
If they lose both and Greinke and Lynch pitch well, I don't know if I'll be in a position to even keep him up. Now, if they, like, if those starters struggle but the offense gets going, I could probably be positive. But if it's, like, 2-1 losses, I don't know if I'll be able to keep Vern up today either. I'm going to need someone as well.
If he loses another game 1-0.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. So, anyway, that and then, of course, tomorrow, Vern's On Deck show starts at 10 a.m. You have some early morning baseball tomorrow. Come up next, I play Trent McDuffie. Talked to the media yesterday, the Chiefs' number one pick. The Chiefs' pick also in the first round, George Karloftis spoke. I'll tell you what he said next.
You're listening to Bink Sunday on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Bink Sunday. Jay Binkley, Christopher Tenpenny. Got you. Always talk to Josh Vernier, Royals insider. He's getting ready for about 40 minutes from now. He'll have you for Vern's On Deck show. Then you've got back-to-back games, so no time for Vern in between. And then you'll have Vern at night and hopefully not talking about two losses. Because they got to do something because the Twins starting to make a move. The White Sox won five in a row. They're starting to win games, too. I mean, everything was fine when everybody else is losing, but right now they're not. So they got to get on some kind of a run, and this is a series to do it. But again, you got to be cautious. The Royals didn't have winning records against the Orioles or the Rangers last year. Orioles and Rangers, not good teams, but they do have two more wins than the Royals, and I get the Royals have hardly played because of all the rainouts that they've had, but they make that game up tomorrow by playing at 11 a.m. Central. Vernie comes on at 10 a.m. George Karlaftis spoke as well, and a guy that I think the Chiefs are really going to be counting on next year. We heard from Trip McDuffie, really counting on him. George Karlaftis, I think they really count on him, and I really think they count on Sky Moore. Here's George Karlaftis when he met the media yesterday.
George, what's this last week or two been like for you? How hectic has it been? Are you trying to get a little bit situated as you get adjusted, Casey?
Yeah, just getting situated now, you know, getting a routine going and all that kind of stuff, just trying to settle down. You know, it's been pretty crazy these past couple weeks, but it's what I dreamed about. So,
sorry, a video of you right after you were selected, you identified Chris Jones is here and Frank Clark is here, and that means like less attention for me. What do you think that could mean for you moving forward right away?
Well, you know, when you're a defensive lineman, you want to get one on ones. You know, whether that's me or whoever. You know, so you want to get guys that are playing next to you that are really really good players, and obviously they're great players, and that just means more success for me and the whole unit.
How frustrating was some of that attention, especially as you went on to college?
You know, well, I'm not gonna say it's frustrating. It was annoying more than anything, just getting doubles all the time. So it'll be a nice change now that, you know, when I'm on the field to maybe not see that attention.
Have you heard double Chris Jones Frank Clark?
Okay, hold on.
if you get doubled you all the time, isn't that more respect for you and your ability?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's kind of what it means, but at the same time, you kind of want to get after the quarterback, and you know, I think if you get doubled, then you know, people that are getting single blocked need a win and need to capitalize off of that as a defense.
Have you heard from Jones or Clark? Or have they given you a piece of advice?
Very little. I think once they come in, I'm sure they'll get with me.
What one of the things that people on the outside looked at the entire draft class, motor, right, tenaciousness and stuff like that was thrown around about all you guys. What have your impressions been of your rookie teammates on defense, especially the guys who got drafted?
I think all the guys here are just ready to work, you know, just ready to work, earn their stripes, get better, earn the respect of everyone in this organization, teammates, coaches, fans, everyone else. So that's really it, you know, here to get better, here to help the team win at the end of the day in whatever role it is for us.
George, what did you learn most about just for the time from conversations with others and then teammates about just the transition from college to NFL in terms of what you need to do in the practice and the preparation for an NFL game? I suppose what's in college.
Yeah, I mean the practice, whether it's from the playbook or the intensity of the practice and everything in between, you know, it just that next level, right? It's more, it's just like going from high school to college. It's just a whole new ballpark, a whole new level, and yeah, it's hectic at first, like you said, but you adjust eventually.
One of the best things about George in college was that you never wanted to come off the field. Your endurance and your intensity were sort of very high. Just where did you develop that, and how much do you think that would be part of your success at this level?
Yeah, I think that's how I like to play the game. You know, I think that comes from training and the desire to win and get after the quarterback and help the team win. I think that's what that lies in. So.
Last one, Rudy.
Along those same lines, how much would you consider yourself a film junkie, and who do you specifically study?
Yeah, I mean, I like to watch film a lot. I've watched just about everyone in the league, you know, league, college. You know, I've gotten film from as back as 2009 and, you know, watch a whole lot of guys. So watch a whole lot of tape. Not one guy specifically. I like to watch guys that compare to me and athletically. But you know, there's also guys that I watch that are in a whole different spectrum athletically that do good stuff too. So I like the whole gamut, if you will. So
who's giving you success of those guys that you feel like you can thank if you see them?
Shoot, I mean everyone. You know, I take a little bits and pieces from just about everyone. You know, I've watch Khalil Mack, for example. I watch Ryan Kerrigan. You know, I watch the Bosa brothers. I watch just about everyone in the league, and gotten a little bit better from each one of them, just watching each one of them. So,
thanks everyone. Thanks,
awesome.
George.
Thanks, guys.
So there's George Karlaftis when he met the media. Remember, this is the This is the 3-day minicamp. 3-day rookie minicamp began yesterday, be today, and tomorrow as well. Here was Brett Veach with Fesco in the morning on Thursday and told you his comp of Sky Moore, which was Stephon Diggs. He's not ready to give one for George Karloftis yet.
George Karloftis, you know, you'd have to go back. He's kind of a throwback guy, but, you know, I hate throwing comps there because, you know, what happens then is, you know, it sticks with you forever. And they're like, wow, they thought he was going to be this. And I think he's in his own category because he's a guy that was a water polo player over in Athens. Okay. But he's one of those guys that he's young. He's one of the youngest guys in the draft. I think he just turned 21. Start playing football as a freshman or sophomore in high school. And funny story, when we were doing George, we were talking to his coach, Jeff Brom at Purdue. And he said that when they're in the recruiting process that a few weeks later, Notre Dame offered. And I know growing up where I did that, that's kind of like, now listen, we're older, so times have changed. But when you get that Notre Dame offer or you get like an Alabama offer, it's like life changing. And Jeff was saying that he just thought Notre Dame was like Purdue or Indiana. It was just another offer and I'll stay home and go to Purdue. But I don't know how to really compare George. Let me get back to you on that one. He's different because he can do a little everything and he plays with a relentless motor. And I hope a few years people are comping a prospect to be to George Karloftis. I do think he's a little bit unique and we're excited to work with this challenge, but that's a long-winded non-answer. So I apologize.
I like that because that was the way with Bobby Witt when Dan O'Down, the former Colorado Rockies GM, was talking about Bobby Witt Jr. and said, well, I don't really want to compare him to anybody else. He's kind of in the area where we want to make comparisons to him. But coming up next, the week that was in Kansas City sports and sports in general. Hear from Brett Veach. Hear from what Ryan Tannehill's doing, which is insane. We talk about that next.
You're listening to Bink Sunday on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Bink Sunday. Jay Binkley, Christopher Tenpenny producing the operation. The week that was for the Kansas City Chiefs. Interesting stuff with this draft. Getting good grades all over the place as people absolutely love the draft for the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, good comments like A to A plus, you name it, for the Chiefs. Best draft inside the division, which I agree with 100%. It's not just because we're here in Kansas City, but they really hit the parts that they wanted to do. And don't forget, Brett Veach, on the week before, he had his press conference on Friday. And, you know, we can say what we want about guys and throwing smoke screens and you name it, that guys will say before the draft. It's like, they're not going to give you what they mean, not going to tell you exactly the way things work. But Brett Veach did talk about that. When he talked about when would they trade up or stay put, don't forget he said this in his pre-draft press conference.
I don't know if it was last year or the year before. It was like every guy we had in the first round went like that. And, you know, if it happens like that, then it's hard to envision, you know, a trade up. But typically what happens, the board do deviate and they are different. And then when you find value of, you know, we talk about 16, 18 guys being valued in the first round, then all of a sudden, you know, you get to picks 19, 20, 21. There's still some of those guys on the board. I think you make a decision and see if you can maybe find a trade partner. If those 16 guys are off the board by the time you get to 19, 20, 21, then, you know, I think it kind of drives the narrative to just stay put and just collect the assets. You know, I don't probably foresee a huge jump up just throwing a haymaker and trying to get in the top 10. I mean, unless something unforeseen happens, I would say that, you know, we'll be flexible and we'll let the board talk to us. And if there's value, we will. And if not, we'll just stay put.
So if there's value, they will trade up. And he did. Look, he's got 16 to 18 first round grades, 19, 20, or 21. If one of your guys is still there, they were surprised that McDuffie still being there. They were surprised. And everybody was talking about the Chiefs trading up and getting Jameson Williams. Well, the Chiefs traded up to get a cornerback. I thought maybe if they did trade up, it would be for edge rusher. But going on defense, because this wide receiver class was so loaded with different picks, you know, you could get them in the second round, which the Chiefs had several opportunities in the second round to get somebody, including Sky Moore. But here's what Veach told us as far as his process to move up for Trent McDuffie?
A lot of legwork. So we spent a great amount of time going through scenarios. And one of the things that we said, and I think I hinted at this in my pre-draft presser, that we would look to be selectively aggressive, and we have a lot of picks, but we have a lot of holes we want to fill and a lot of depth we want to create. I, the whole time, never anticipated, making a huge move into the top 10. And what we talked about, given the positional stacks and where we thought value was, we kind of liked the DN stack. We thought it was good, and we thought that there was numbers, and it was deep. So having two picks, you felt like the numbers worked in your favor. The corners were a little bit different. Certainly everyone had the top two guys. And then after that, Trent was right there. And then there was, just a handful of other guys. And then we thought it was a little bit of a bigger gap, unlike the DNs. So what we actually talked about was, we'll probably be inactive the first 15 picks. Once we get to the late teens, early 20s, we should start calling to see if we can explore trade up for a corner. And I think a couple things kind of factored, obviously you'll have a few teams maybe going in a different direction than what you anticipate when you're doing these mocks. And then I think the Eagles ended up trading for the receiver. So that was a player that was unaccounted for. So, but by the time, you get to pick 12, 13, 14, we're starting to call New Orleans at 19, Pittsburgh at 20. Pittsburgh was really quiet, but it makes sense because there was a thought that they may go quarterback. And if that's the case, they're really not going to be looking to deal. But talk to New England at 21 and Green Bay at 22, Arizona at 23. So we had dialogue with all these teams and we exchanged ideas. When New England called back at 19, we probably would have had a position. We would have been in a position to do something there. However, that would have involved pick 62. Still like the numbers in our advantage. So we, decided to just hold there at 62 and then do something with New England that didn't involve 62. By the time we kind of agreed to do that, Trent McDuffie was still on the board. And, that was kind of one of those scenarios where I talked about earlier with the flashing green light. So it worked out in our favor. I think we're in a position to do something for a corner. Once we got into the late teens, 18, 19, 20, we had dialogue. We were able to make a connection there at New England, and we were probably coming up from a corner, and just so happened that Trent was still on the board. So it worked out for us.
Well, the best thing they did is they could get Trent McDuffie. Then the Buffalo Bills clearly wanted to make a move on corner too, because they traded up to get Kyir Elam. Trent McDuffie's rated as a better corner, so the Kansas City Chiefs jumped the Bills, and that's always good when that happens.
Yeah, we do spend a lot of time looking at teams and how they're constructed. And we did have it turns out that we kind of triggered the move by Buffalo. So we moved up for 21 and then Buffalo ended up moving up two spots to take Elam. We do spend a lot of time looking at teams and their needs. And I think just some of the past history too would suggest a team and their natural tendencies. So, Buffalo is a great organization. Obviously they have a great roster. Sean McDermott, who we know very well, is a defensive coordinator at heart and defensive back coach. And shoot, even back in the day when we traded for Mahomes, I think they took Tre'Davious White. So I think they have an MO of corners. White's coming off an injury. They lost their other corner at Pittsburgh. It made sense that was likely a corner. And then there was the mindset of getting in front of them, but also if you don't get up in front of them, we only had two guys that we were kind of eyeing there. And if we didn't get up ahead of them and they do go corner, then we can get shut out of corner. So we were certainly motivated to get in front of them. And we were just lucky it worked out. I mean, sometimes those situations don't work out. Mm-hmm. But I think our staff and the guys working with me did a great job of starting the calls early. And, once pick 15, 16 were turned in, I mean, we were nonstop calling at 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and we decided to go in a different direction than 19. And then 20, we didn't have a shot at. They weren't interested in moving that pick. And then we were able to stay persistent and then finally work something out with New England.
So here's Brett Veach as well. Why so heavy on defense? Because they went heavy in defense this draft. Kind of glad they did, because they had to fix this defense around. Put the defense out there. They got attitude, a lot of attitude. Melvin Ingram brought that attitude last year, and Karloftis certainly has it. Leo Chenal has that attitude. Trent McDuffie kind of has that attitude as well at corner. And Brian Cook definitely does the safety. He likes to hit. He likes to bring the lumber when he comes up and makes a big hit. So they went completely with a lot of attitude. But here's Brett Veach on the going heavy on defense.
I think it was a combination of both. I think that, you know, we knew we needed more depth on various levels on the defense. You know, we also, the offseason, you know, we were able to add Justin Reed, but offensively, you know, we picked up Juju and we picked up MVS and we picked up Rojo. So, you know, we did some things. We were able to retain Wiley. So we did some things to put us in a position to go either way. I think going into the draft, just from positioning ourselves, you know, everyone knows how we feel about Snead. We think he's excellent at what he does. And, you know, in addition to that, Fenton is a really good player that we have a lot of confidence in. Fenton had a little shoulder deal here, so, you know, he might miss some time here early on in OTAs and training camp. So, I mean, that was a scenario where, again, we're going to adhere to the board and take best player, but I'd be lying to say if, you know, we didn't look at that and say, well, you know, with having Snead, losing Chavarius Ward, and Fenton may needing some time, I mean, we got to get a corner. And we got to be smart about it, though, because we have a lot of picks. We also want to add depth on the defensive line. We need depth at linebacker and safety and what have you. So that's where those extra picks came in really valuable. It allowed us to be aggressive and then, you know, do what we felt was best for the team. But I think it was a combination of, yeah, I think we were going to attack some obvious depth level issues at corner and D line. Now, if there was, you know, a player like, say, receiver or, you know, maybe interior defensive line that we had valued that high, I think we would have went that direction. It was one of those deals where the talent and the need were kind of married up together, and it just worked out for us where we were getting really good players at, you know, positions that we came in wanting to address.
We talked about that tender the Kansas City Chiefs put on Melvin Ingram. It really leads me to believe that he's coming back to the Kansas City Chiefs. You heard Andy Reid earlier when he was on with Carrington Harrison as far as, you know, the need maybe to bring him back. This was Brett Veach, Alma Fesco, talking about Melvin Ingram.
Well, we certainly were hopeful that we have an opportunity to do something there. And the Ingram thing has kind of gone on the way we anticipated, where he's obviously played a lot of football and he's accomplished a lot in his career. Usually when these guys get to this stage, they like to take a step back and spend time with their family and just kind of look at the landscape of the NFL and what they have in regards to, you know, money on the table and opportunities and teams. And, you know, I think now we're in a position where no matter what happens with Melvin, we'll be in conversation and we'll have dialogue. And I think that was what was important to us, just to make sure we were always in touch. And those guys can go in many different directions. They may not want to sign until training camp ends. They may want to sign before. They may not want to play at all. We certainly really like Melvin. We had a great experience with him. We think he feels the same way. And I think the motivation behind the UFA tender was just to make sure that we were in constant communication. If there's something we can do and get him here, it makes sense for him, it makes sense for us, we'll certainly be excited about that.
So the Chiefs used the UFA tender, on Melvin Ingram. The Baltimore Ravens did the same thing on Justin Houston. Basically, the way it works is if the player signs with a new team before July 22nd or the first day of training camp, whichever's later, the signings would count towards the NFL compensatory formula. So you lose him, it helps you get a comp pick next year, probably a seventh-round pick. If they don't sign by the deadline, the teams would retain exclusive negotiating rights to the player at 110% of their 2021 salaries. So for Ingram, that would be about $4,400,000 to bring back Melvin Ingram. So if something, they obviously like Melvin Ingram. He did go visit the Dolphins, but didn't sign. It reminds me just of last year. I don't think Melvin Ingram is one of these guys that wants to go to training camp, doesn't want to go to TAs, mini camp. He's a veteran player. He just wants to come in and perform for the Chiefs. I think that's the directions he's looking at, but I do think the Chiefs need to bring him back. And last but not least, here is Brett Veach on the signing of Lonnie Johnson and what he brings to the quarterback. Again, they didn't have tall cornerbacks. Lonnie Johnson, 6'2". Jalen Watson, they drafted 6'3". Josh Williams, 6'2". I mean, they went with taller cornerbacks in this year's draft, and then they make the trade for Lonnie Johnson of the Texans.
Well, I think it came up, you know, I think that there was a little bit of dialogue during the trade deadline. Trade deadlines are tricky because when you're not with a team in the off season, during training camp and, you know, the playbook and just that cohesive That cohesiveness is not there. It's a little bit tricky. Melvin Ingram was a little bit different because he had played so long in the league, and he's a guy that, you know, I think was a little bit of an outlier. Sometimes those guys are. So I think it kind of picked up there. And then once the draft ended, you know, we had just stayed in contact. And look, we've been in contact with these teams before the draft. So we always have the initial phone call, which is let us know what you're thinking of doing early on, moving up or moving down. And then as the draft goes on, let us know if there's any players that, you know, you may be willing to move for either a pick this year or next year, what have you. So we just kind of make a note of all those conversations. And he was a guy that, you know, his name had gotten brought up, and we did have some extensive experience with him. I mean, Coach House was here. We went through the process with Lonnie coming out. I mean, he was with him at Kentucky, and then obviously Justin played with him in Houston. So we were able to, you know, talk to both people, and, you know, I think, Lonnie was in a situation where he was bounced around from corner to safety, back to corner, back to safety. And I just say, look, you know, we're pretty good here at safety, and between Justin and Juan and now Brian Cook and Deion Bush, you know, we're good. And, you know, we have some corners we like, but we also like big, long press corners. We know he can press, we know he's physical, and I think he'll come in here and compete. And like I said, we feel good in regards to what we have in Trent and Snead. Fenton's a guy that obviously we're high on and we're very confident in. I mean, he's going to go, he's going through a little bit of a rehab now. So hopefully we get him for the start of training camp. But I think from what we did at the end of the draft to the late round picks mid, you know, I think we pulled the trigger there in the mid rounds, and then a couple late round corners plus Lonnie, I think we'll have a ton of competition now for those 3, 4, 5 spots.
CEO Brett Veach on Lonnie Johnson right there. Come up next, though, he did mention Justin Ross as well. I know that people are really looking at him. He's at the rookie minicamp for the Kansas City Chiefs this week. And the schedule starts trickling out starting tomorrow. I'll let you know where you can find these, because they're going to be on morning shows all week. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to Bink Sunday on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Mother's Day is Sunday, May 8th, and there are so many reasons to give a gift of fine jewelry from Shane Company.
Dear Mom, what can I say? You're amazing. From being team mom at my little league games to putting up with me when I was a wild teenager, you've taught me so much, and I'm forever grateful. Happy Mother's Day.
A gift of fine jewelry is truly special. It's something Mom will treasure forever. Shane Company has gifts in every price range, crafted with attention and care. Stunning diamond jewelry, classic styles with sapphires, beautiful cultured pearls. Get her something stylish and colorful, like Huggy earrings with vibrant gemstones, available in either London blue topaz, red garnet, or amethyst. Or surprise her with an exquisite butterfly necklace. The wings are accented with blue sapphires. Visit us for a meaningful Mother's Day gift, tied with a burgundy bow and ready to give.
Now you have a friend in the jewelry business. Shane Company and ShaneCo.com.
Warm weather, celebrations, and Smokehouse Barbecue. I can't think of anything better. No matter what you're celebrating, Smokehouse Barbecue will celebrate with you. With private banquet rooms at all three of their area locations in Zona Rosa, Gladstone, and Independence. Or, if you're hosting your party in the KC Metro, invite Smokehouse to cater and deliver. Order the whole meal with their famous ribs and wings. Or, if you're flexing your skills on the grill but need Smokehouse hickory pip beans or cheesy corn to go with your masterpiece, give them a call. Or visit smokehousebbq.com.
At Athletico Physical Therapy, our favorite patients are the impatient ones. The ones who don't want to wait 3 months to see a specialist. Or wait until that little pain becomes a big one. The ones who know that Athletico's therapist can help them take the recovery into their own hands. Our favorite patients are the ones who just can't and won't wait. Because they don't have to. So get a little impatient and start with physical therapy at Athletico. With no prescription needed in most states to get started, you'll be right back at it in no time. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.
Stop by Tanner's Bar and Grill, the other place, or High Dive Lounge between now and May 31st for your chance to win a pair of tickets to watch the Royals take on the Blue Jays with the 610 Sports Radio crew. Find the QR code on the Boulevard Wheat signage at Tanner's Bar and Grill, the other place, or High Dive Lounge for your chance to win. Boulevard Unfiltered Wheat. Fresh look, same great taste. This new look gives prominence to the refreshing, citrusy, easy drinking nature of unfiltered wheat. Please drink responsibly. You must be 21 to win.
Yeah.
back to Big Sunday. Jay Binkley, Christopher Tenpenny. Vern takes over in just a few minutes, getting ready for Royals and Orioles doubleheader today. F1 Racing's on today, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, NASCAR in Darlington. You got everything today. I mentioned Brett Veach on Justin Ross as well. Justin Ross, one of those guys that a lot of people talking about. A lot of people wanted to be drafted, ran a 4.64 in one of the 40-yard dashes on Pro Day, a 4.68 in the other. Could have been drafted. They had some issues health-wise going forward, but here was Brett Veach on Justin Ross that a lot of people have expectations for. And, hey, if he pans out, so be it. And they've got these guys before. I mean, Byron Pringle made this team as an undrafted free agent. So can Justin Ross.
Yeah, I think we'll – with Justin, everyone kind of knows the story. He's certainly a really talented individual that had gone through his share of injuries at Clemson. And, you know, one thing, if we kind of go back to last year in the Trey Smith setup, I mean, I've always said that our docs are on the more conservative side. And, you know, we spent a lot of time, and I know our docs at KU spent a lot of time talking to the experts that dealt with Justin, and, you know, he's cleared. And I think when you take away the next situation, and again, our docs did a great job of exhausting all the information. And I think for me, it's a little easier on how I operate. I know how good our medical staff is, both Rick and his crew and the docs we have at KU, that if they tell me yes, I feel good. If they tell me no, I don't try to become a doctor all of a sudden and try to say, well, this team said this and that. No, if our docs say good, we're good. And Rick and his staff said they're good. I think one of the things that popped up was a foot. And so that hindered him late in the season. And then I think, you know, he really didn't have time to test and train. I think it was a combination of a lot of things why he fell. And obviously most of it had to do with, you know, a couple seasons ago with the neck, but I think then you throw in the foot and not having time to test. But listen, I know his agent very well, Tory Dandy. It was Sammy Watkins' agent, and we stayed in touch as the draft went on. And then when the draft ended, he was just kind of going through some different options, and we just stayed in touch. And then yesterday we connected again, and he had a chance to just, you know, review all the offers in the landscape of where everything was, and he decided to come here. So as far as expectations, I mean, it's like a lot of these guys. I mean, whether you're a first round pick or second round pick, I mean, it's, you got to come in here and learn the playbook, and you have to have the confidence in the coaching staff to execute your assignment. You have to have the confidence in Pat, you know, for him to trust you to execute your assignment. And if he can do that, I mean, I think talent wise, as long as he stays healthy, he'll have a shot, but it'll just come down to him and how, you know, he handles the playbooks and being moved around and, you know, staying healthy and being diligent in regards to, looking ahead and preventative things that he can do for his body. But I mean, there's a lot of these guys that are really in the same boat, in that when you come in here, it's a combination of talent, being smart, staying on top of the training. And that means when you're away from the facility too. So like a lot of these young guys, if he does those things, given the talent he has, I mean, he should be able to come here and potentially contribute. But I think that's the beauty of a 90-man roster. Where guys get to come in and we always felt like we'll keep the best players, and it doesn't matter where you're drafted or where you were selected. I mean, if that individual is going to come in here and earn a spot in the team, you know, we'll be good with that. But I just think it'll be a very interesting competition for only five or six spots. And I think we have a lot of talent there.
So there's Brett Veach on Justin Ross. The challenges ahead of them as far as that is concerned. Now, the draft, or not the draft, the NFL schedule starts trickling out this week. May 12th is the day. It is the day, Tenpenny, where this has become a big deal. And at 5 o'clock, teams are going to announce their first home games. And then at 7 o'clock, it'll be the rest of their schedule. But we've already seen some, well, not leaks, because they put them out there. And May 4th, they did the international games. And we already know the Chiefs are playing the Chargers as the first Amazon Thursday night game, because they mentioned that during the draft. But there's a buildup for this. Monday, May 9th, tomorrow, ESPN to announce during Good Morning America a select game. So it could be any game, but a select game that'll be Monday Night Football. Tuesday, May 10th, CBS to announce during CBS Mornings a select game. See what I'm doing here? See, they're doing a special thing. Wednesday, May 11th, Fox to announce during Fox and Friends. Thursday, May 12th, NBC to announce during the Today Show. So they're gradually starting to release these May 9th. Then the 12th, we've got the culmination, and you've got all the schedule you can piece together.
You're going to hang on to every day.
Well, I'm one of these guys that hits refresh on arrowheadpride.com every day to try to figure things out, you know, see where it is. Great job today by Christopher Tenpenny producing the operation. Thanks to Ron Kopp, lead analyst, arrowheadpride.com, for joining us and talking Ricky Minicamp. Thanks to Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, who called to talk about the Royals' doubleheader against the Orioles today. Josh Vernier comes your direction for the doubleheader starting here in 5 seconds. See you guys tomorrow.
You're listening to Bink Sunday on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.